Hear ye, Harmenians. This is Dan Harmon talking to you from the studio, as opposed to live on stage, simply because we lost the first 3 minutes of our recording due to a little technical crash. It happens. You only missed the very beginning of the live recording. But so I'm just introducing it to make it make sense. While I've got your ear, I will caution you. This is an unexpectedly intimate episode of Harmontown. and I they're not usually family fare, but I will say, if you had any respect for me or my friend Rob Schraub, and it was based in any way on our manners, or our concern for our own posteriors, and lack of experimentation with them, maybe don't listen to this episode. Maybe just watch Community and the other shows and comic books and things that we make, and think of us as decent people. But if you do listen on, you're gonna hear a story from me about my butt hole. And a story from Rob about his. We didn't plan for that to be the theme of the evening, but it really turned out to be the case. that's about it. Oh, I also just want to plug Harmon and Schraub's Found Crap, which is going to be part of the Everything is Terrible Festival on August 26th, I think at 5:30 p.m. Come see Rob Schraub puts together all these amazing found footage things. If you're in Los Angeles or near Los Angeles, it's definitely worth coming out for. Both he and I will be there, and love to see you there. So we now join Harmontown in progress. Just to give you the context, Jeff started the show with some sexy music. We were talking about sexy music. It reminded me of the fact that I had given my girlfriend a little fashion show recently to Sade music. So we now join Harmontown in progress. Just to give you the context, what you miss at the beginning is that Jeff started the show with some sexy music, which reminded me of the fact that I had given my girlfriend a little fashion show a couple days earlier because she had bought me some new clothes. So here we go.
And she said, what music makes you feel sexy? And I immediately inexplicably blurted out, Sade! So it was just like, we're just playing a Sade album, and I was like trying on a bunch of checkered nerd shirts.
Was it Smooth Operator?
Yeah, well, that was Smooth Operator was in there. Sweetest Taboo, of course. I remember it brought to mind a memory that I thought was so odd. When I was in junior high, in Milwaukee in the 80s, they had this thing. They were called desegregation traps. They had come up with this thing where we had so many inner city schools that were so predominantly African American. By the way, I hate that phrase. Isn't that a little demeaning, African American? That makes it sound like they're foreigners. No one is more American than a black person. Who has more right to not be hyphenated like that? That's terrible. But it's up to them.
we're gonna do race again.
I'm probably
settled this in like three Harmontowns ago.
I didn't even get a chance to talk about it last time. You dicks got all uppity about he wanted to hear about Mars rovers, and Schraub was heckling, and we might bring Schraub up later. I want him to tell his butthole doctor story, but I'm way off track already. This is going to be a low key Harmontown. I'm very, very hungover. What was I just talking about? Okay,
race,
desegregation. This story has nothing to do with race, really. In seventh and eighth grade, I went to Steuben Middle School.
Steuben.
It was for the computer specialty, which was a desegregation trap. In reality, they had six Apple IIes in the basement, and they just wanted to. They were trying to bus white kids into schools that were so disproportionately black. And so I was like one of six white kids there to use their Apple. Apple IIe's in this school. It was great. By the way, white people much more racist than black people. Like that's a genetic trait that I can actually I believe in, because I went to, for much of my public school life, I went to predominantly black schools, and I never got picked on, or it was only when I went to the suburbs and started in these more predominantly white schools that I started getting picked on. Like, I remember a girl took a piece of tape and taped it secretly to a pair of jeans to as a way of tracking how often I wore them in a week.
Ooh.
Like I was some kind of animal. I was like, black people don't do this. That's a stereotype I am comfortable saying. Black people are nicer than this. I'm not a big fan of racial constructs, but I believe black people are nicer and less racist than white people. There, okay. I did get a little. So I was going.
The story's not about race, everybody. Would you guys take it easy? This story will not lean towards race.
And where, you notice that we chased NT off. Where's NT? He was always in the front row.
Empty seat.
NT's empty seat. Dumb. Edit it out. Just stupid.
Leave it. Leave it. It stays.
I'm not witty tonight. I'm a verbal thinker, and I can feel the muscle in my verbal lobe. There's days when it's on fire, you know, and it's kind of spinning and you know, I was like, I'm gonna rock it talking to people tonight.
Have we told the story, or can I ask you to tell the story about roll call? And you know what I'm talking about, the guy.
Oh yeah.
The guy who subverted roll call.
That takes place at the same school.
Hi Aida. Wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
I just wanted to tell this story. I don't know. I don't think it's a good story. So buckle up. Sade reminded me of this. I was in this computer specialty school, and I was in my one computer class. I was taught by this guy named Mr. Blanchett. He caught a girl slipping another girl a note or something, and so he did that awesome thing where you take the note and then he read it out loud, and it was just some. It was like. It was the girl was making fun of some other kid in the class by going, I know you love Ronald. I know he gives you the sweetest taboo. And his face turned purple. And he said, you don't even know what that means. You know, why are you talking about that? You're 13 years old. You don't even know what that means. I was like, no one knows what that means.
You're not a real Sade fan.
Yeah, exactly. One of the hardest core Sade.
I've been to four of her concerts.
I'm pretty sure it means fucking, probably. And no one knows what that means more than a bunch of 13-year-olds. Right? Like, we're coming in our pants, like by reading math books, like at that age. The school smelled like Gen Con. It was so, there was so much testosterone and estrogen just bursting out of us. Our faces were festooned with hormonal acne, and all of us were, running into dark corners to touch ourselves every chance we got. I think we know what the sweetest taboo is. I think it's fucking. In that same school, because you requested the story.
This one is by request.
We were taking roll call in this.
We're going to play sexy music over this.
We were taking roll call in this math class. The teacher said, it was the beginning of the school year, and the teacher said, I'll call your name. You say, here, if you're here. Also, if you have a name that you prefer to be called, you can let me know then. And what she meant is what happened to be like, she'd say, LaShonda Johnson, and then LaShonda would say, here, Shonda's fine. And it's okay, Shonda. And Dion Nash here. You call me D. D. Okay, great. And then she calls this one guy's name, Trevor Smith. And this kid goes, you may call me Royal Champagne. 12-year-old kid. And she went, no. Royale Champagne.
So good.
If
I had been that teacher, I would have said, all right. And I would have called him up to the board every time.
Yeah.
What's the square root of 151? Royale Champagne, would you treat us?
Well, there was such a... She was probably scared. It was like, you know, you never knew back then. It was like, they had to have rules against magic markers. It was such an odd thing. Like, I don't know if this was a place in time or if this is true for 12 and 13 year olds in middle school, but everyone was obsessed with gangs. None of us were in any, but everyone was like, they were always drawing little pitchfork symbols and stars that were gang symbols for the local Milwaukee gangs on the walls.
This is junior high school or elementary school?
This is junior high. Yeah, we're not, you know, nobody in that school was rolling with the 27 boys, which was one of the local gangs from 27th Street. And there were the Black Gangster Disciples (BGD), and their symbol was like a little pitchfork. I'm holding up my hand to form a little pitchfork.
Those pitchforks aren't straight, man.
That reminds me of the story. I'm like, yeah, we were in metal shop, and the teacher put on a slide projector, and then just like 85 like pitchfork shadows come into the thing, including me probably, because it just became a thing. It was like that and beatboxing. We were all just doing it. It was the culture. It was just like people were walking down the hall just going. You just did it all the time.
Wait. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I went to Steuben. No one actually did that.
Don't extend yourself. Man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that's the hacky thing. my mom, I used to come home and do that. My mom's impression. She'd go, "Will you stop doing that with the absta 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 absta?"
There's not a white guy in this room that hasn't tried his hand at beatbox at some point. We've all tried it.
Yeah, I'm darn good at it in a pinch. Let's see, there was budget. Oh, yeah. So all these pitchfork shadows come into the slide projector's illumination. And then you just hear this guy, John Morse, who was this big, tall. He was like, he seemed like he was 9 feet tall. You know, just one of those beanpole, like sprouters. And he was kind of like, I think he was a little touched. I think he was one of those kids who slips through the cracks. Like, he wasn't special enough to take advantage of being special. He just felt like he was destined for bad times or Verizon employment, you know, like he's just going to end up and he would just sit in the class and beatbox and do his pitchforks, and then all those shadows came in, and then the shop teacher's like, okay, we're going to watch a film strip, and he says, all right, he's so sick of seeing pitchfork shadows, and then you just hear John Morse is the last one in there, and you see his other hand come in and physically straighten his own fingers like he's perfecting his pitchfork, and then you just hear John Morse in the dark metal shop room go, damn, my pitchfork's straight. Which was not a thing. It was not a, he was, no one cared how straight your pitchforks were. That was, that's a 13 year old brain, you know, it's sad really, because it's like this gang culture of all kids are pure of heart and just want to have fun and do things better than, you know, we just want to play video games and fuck around. Pitchforks. My car might get blown up by the Black Gangster Disciples tonight. I don't know. I don't know if they're comfortable with me talking about them. One of their sayings was "False flag is a fag."
Ooh.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to throw up pitchforks if you weren't in BGD.
I went to
false flagging.
I went to public school in Los Angeles during the late 80s and early 90s, and that's when everybody was in a gang, like for real. And you went to a party. You could go to a party in like a lower class neighborhood or a working class, middle class, upper class neighborhood, and gangs would come, like Compton Crips, like Bloods would come, like a big, bad, gun-toting, bad motherfuckers would show up. And we were all just like nerds, and like I used to wear like, because I was like a bodyboarder and I had dreadlocks. Hey, man, it was 1987. You guys weren't there. I had, like, natural dreadlocks. I also had a tan. Picture that.
I mean, even us in Milwaukee were into the Ocean Pacific culture. You really lived on Ocean Pacific.
But I would wear, like, a little, like, bandana, but I was smart enough. Like, you couldn't wear, like, eight colors. There were eight colors that if you wore, someone would come up to you and grab it. And I was, like, an arcade bowling alley kind of thing, and I walked outside and I had like a green like bandana on, like, you know, kind of tied in the back, like I don't know what I was doing, and I got jumped by 12 guys and they just came up and just like kicked me in the chest, knocked me down. I'm all alone. I was, you know, I'm 6'4" now, but I was 5'4" as a freshman in high school. I grew 10.5 inches, so I was very little and very skinny. And these six Latino guys jump me, and the main alpha dude walks up, and he grabs my bandana off, and he goes, "Yo, bro, you want your rag back? You got to claim it back from Cactus Bunch."
What in the fuck? What in the strawberry shortcake unicorn mythology? Cactus? What? Cactus pickles? What were they called?
Hey, man. It was the first I'd heard of them.
What did you say?
Cactus Bunch.
Bunch? Don't call your gang a bunch. That's like a Don Knotts, Tim Conway movie. Look, a bunch?
They weren't. I'm not saying it was the toughest gang in town. I'm saying there was 14 of them, and they had my rag. So the guy took the fucking bandana off, and he goes, "You want this back? You got to claim it from Cactus Brunch." Brunch. Now, Cactus Brunch. Cactus Brunch was even more dangerous.
That's what their wives were.
They met at the Bel Air Hotel every Sunday.
Yeah. Little cucumber sandwiches, would just talk shit. So
they said, "Claim it from Cactus Bunch." And I was like, "Hey, man, I found that. It's yours to keep."
Yeah. It gets too cold in Milwaukee for people to be that violent. Like, we all have to hibernate. We have to save our energy. By the way, my apologies to the Black Gangster Disciples, the 27 Boys,
Cactus Bunch.
And the Cactus Bunch, especially the Cactus Bunch, because we really took them. I want the Cactus Bunch members that are listening to the podcast to know my issue is not with your manhood. It's simply with your nomenclature. It's your ability to name your gang properly that I question. I don't question your ability to murder me. Cactus Bunch, it's so adorable. We're the Hugga Bunch.
There's a really old school gang in Los Angeles called Las Cantaranas, which is the Singing Frogs. But they're a really old, like, you know, like, veterano gang.
All right. Well, my hat's off to them. Rags at half mast. Pitchforks straight. Let's get off this topic. I feel like
I'm
going to get in trouble. But speaking of bummers, tonight is going to be a bummer. That's why I got fashion and style advice questions from you guys. It's because I wanted to commit to tonight being a bummer. I'm very hungover. I went to a bachelor party last night. Like I told you, I woke up this morning and I knew I'm not going to be funny tonight. I'm not going to be insightful. I'm not going to be witty. I'm only going to waste your time and steal your $10. So I wanted to just be above board about that. And so for the questions that we got from the audience tonight, they're at a topic that I am bound to fail at speaking to, which is style and fashion. I picked the worst topic that I thought that I could think of to commit to tonight being the worst Harmontown ever. So buckle up. And if you're listening at home, stop.
Dan, someone from our audience asks, why do all girls think they can wear leggings?
What does that mean? Because they can. I don't. Young man, aren't they kind of a one size fits all? Aren't leggings just like tights without feet?
I think that someone's saying that some people wear them to greater acclaim and success than other people.
Well, that's everything. That's all clothes. See, I'm already pissed off at this category. What the hell are you talking about?
You chose the topic.
Like, hot, this is the tyranny of hot people. It's like, you know, like,
if you look good, you can wear a towel. Like, why do you have to also, in addition to that, you know, ugly people are the ones who should be caring the most about clothes. You know, you shouldn't go, oh, her ass is too fat. She shouldn't be wearing those pants. Fuck you, you bad person. I told you, I wasn't kidding, man. I'm not on all four cylinders tonight. I'm on two. So why? Because they can wear leggings. Shame on you. You snarky David Spade type.
All right, Dan.
Let's see you in a pair of leggings, Miss Thang, or Mister.
The next question, if you were a lady, what
kind— I will say this, sorry. Here's a good question. Here's the question that should be asked. Why do some women, how do you find out as a woman, when do you learn, who tells you, what newsletter do you get that tells you that you can't just wear tights as pants? You ever go to like the mall and you just see some lady who didn't get the telegram? Like, she's just wearing, it's so jarring visually. So it's like, you're just not wearing any pants. Those are underwear. And you're just wearing them is it just like a thing that you see someone else doing it and then you do it? And that's like someone has to, tights aren't pants for sure. I know that. Like, that's not like a no white after Labor Day thing. That's like a you can't just wear underwear for pants. And those are tights.
But you love tights.
Yeah, I do, but I like them because, their tights aren't really... Just wearing a pair of tights walking around the mall isn't... That's not flattering on anybody. You could be... I'm going to date myself. Cindy Crawford. I don't know. Who's hot now? Who's the...
Kate Moss.
You could be Kate Moss. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight.
Dan, if you were a lady, somebody asks...
And I am.
What kind of dress would you wear?
Oh, that's a good question. If I were a lady, I think I would dress a lot like the beautiful redheaded poet girl from Head of the Class. I think I would have a kind of like Laura Ingalls Wilder kind of bohemian Edie Brickell kind of. I think I'd wear a lot of very long skirts with
now you're dating yourself.
With tights and like a cardigan sweater.
You're like a horny Iceman, or you're your boner is frozen in like 1987.
Oh man. It really is. I for pornography, while other people are going to the YouPorn and the Pornhub.coms, I will there too. But I will often go to YouTube and just type in like aerobics. And it's enough for me. Cynthia Caraluk was a Canadian fitness lady. And she was just 80s.
She
supreme.
Was in Cactus Bunch, wasn't she?
She would always pronounce a boot wrong and tell you how to exercise. But she would, you know, she'd wear like these like leotards and cross trainers and white socks and tights, pantyhose, whatever.
What is your obsession with like? Because like I like stockings, but like for some reason tights less so. I can't qualify why that is. But you love tights and like leggings. And
I just like women. I like that they're soft and fun to touch. I want them to be. I like it's weird. Fetishes are weird because there's a logic to them to a certain degree, but then there's just some weird. I think something happened to me when I was 6 years old or something. A lot of people who have like feet fetishes or like nylon fetishes, they'll have memories of like playing under the table with their Matchbox cars and their aunt was crossing and uncrossing their legs. Like they'll have a visceral memory of some sexual awakening for them. And I think what it is that I think your brain just pops like popcorn. I think there's a certain point as a primate that you're just walking down the street and you're gonna turn into a sexual entity and unfortunately whatever you're looking at or whatever. Whatever's around you, you're gonna. Okay, he's a chocolate file.
Wait.
It's a Hershophile.
I don't remember what year it would have been, but I'm pretty sure I drove one of my, like, either my old crappy Volkswagen or my shitty Honda. And I drove you to Sunset and La Brea to a, was it a Wendy's or an El Pollo Loco?
Oh, man, this is a little embarrassing. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yes, you drove me to buy, this is before the internet was really a thing. You drove
I'll say.
Me. You drove me to buy, I had arranged.
It was like going to a drug deal.
I had arranged to buy VHS tapes from a guy who was in town who I on the internet. The internet existed, but it wasn't like a place where you could watch video yet. That didn't happen until Rob Schraub and I invented it with Channel 101. And
do you want to explain
YouTube.
What VHS tapes are?
They're these giant cassettes. Shut up. You drove me to a clandestine meeting with a guy who made videos of women just basically wearing like tights and pantyhose and hanging out.
And it
doesn't even count as pornography. Like there's a certain breed of video I watch where it's like it'll just be a woman at a desk just going like, "Hello, sir. Do you want me to hold your calls?" And then she just kind of crosses her legs and
that's called James Bond.
And then they start disrobing, and I go, next
day. But a guy, like, you got out of my car, and we're at the Wendy's or El Pollo Loco or whatever it was, Sunset and La Brea, and I'm waiting in the car, like, shit, something's about to go bad, man. I got a bad feeling about this. And a guy came out with a ratty old cardboard box full of VHS tapes.
Well, because I'm not going to buy one, so I bought all of them. It wouldn't make sense to buy one. Like, it's like, okay, how many do you have? And at the time, I was just kind of rolling in, like, heat vision and jack money. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was living in a one-bedroom apartment in Hollywood. My rent was $550 a month. And I had, like, $300,000, just sitting in a pile. And I was like, what do I do?
Was it the Wilcox apartment?
Wilcox. Yeah.
That apartment was amazing because it was a little, like an eight-unit, like, apartment building. Like, just a regular old, like, Hollywood apartment building. And you walked in, and Dan had bought the world's biggest desk. The desk was most of the room, right?
Yeah, it really was almost as big as my living room.
And Dan, at that point in his life, had decided he was going to be like Einstein and wear the same outfit every day. So
yeah. Seth Brundle.
So, yeah, he'd gone to Sears and bought, a dozen of the same blue shirt.
I got these baby blue short sleeve button shirts and six black ties.
So if you went to visit Dan, it looked like you went to go visit the manager of the local Albertsons. Except,
like Gus from Breaking Bad.
but there was porn, Mountain Dew, and pizza boxes everywhere.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of porn and a little mannequin parts and things.
So I never got to see that hidden away in his bedroom. It was the only part of Dan's life that had any shame that he wouldn't allow everybody to see. Like, I went toward the bedroom. Like, oh, blah, blah. You kind of demurred one time when I went toward the bedroom, and like, no, that's the menagerie.
Well, that's what Rob called it, the menagerie.
What was the menagerie?
Well, I was trying to figure out who I was and what I was into. I knew it had something to do with legs and nylon
and cadavers.
Well, you certainly would have a strong case for profiling me as a serial killer back then. I've since moved on, and I date human women now, and everything's fine. But I was like, well, here, my thing was, I was a serial monogamist. I kept getting in these relationships. I kept wasting women's time, and then it always ended in heartbreak. And I was like, you know, I sure like jerking off, and if I can just figure out how to do it perfectly. If I can just be the Chuck Yeager of masturbation, if I can figure out what it is that really flips my switches, and then just be happy, you know, that was the whole point behind getting the shirts and there was a reading Campbell's Hero of the Thousand Faces for the first time, and I was becoming obsessive. I was drawing circles everywhere and like trying to figure out this like simplify the story model. I was self actualized. I admire that mannequin fucking Gus Fring. serial killer.
What comprised the menagerie?
It was just I okay. At one point, I bought a mannequin. to see what that would be like.
A full body mannequin.
Yeah, because I thought...
Where do you go to buy a mannequin?
Online. It was like I ordered it from like a mannequin warehouse.
Did you pretend to be like a fashion designer or something?
I don't know. I fell back on the idea that what I was doing was so weird that no one would ever suspect. No one ever go, hey, are you going to fuck this? Hey, well, who would think that? I'm weird.
I bet that amounts to like 50% of their mannequin sales.
I read stuff about, there's a whole branch of the fetish that's like, you know, and there was a story in the paper. There's no such thing as paper anymore. But there was a story online I remember reading about a guy who got arrested because for the third time or something, he smashed a display window of a certain store. He was in love with a mannequin. There was one specific one that he kept abducting. He would rather break the law than go home without her.
But did the mannequin keep escaping and go back to work? Why did he have to do it three times?
Well, because as soon as there was no one around, she would turn into Kim Cattrall and... I don't know. I think they would catch him because he was better at loving mannequins than he was a criminal. He wasn't... I mean, I don't think he was... If he was a good criminal, if his passion was for crime, he would have robbed a bank. He was just so horny for this mannequin that he was breaking glass and he was getting caught because it's probably hard to abscond with those things.
Isn't there a mannequin in Silver Lake or Los Feliz that you have a thing for?
Say what?
Isn't there a mannequin that you have a little crush on?
Well, no, that's McGathy's jealous of this mannequin on Hillhurst that is a there's a record store and there's a mannequin in the window that's like sitting in like a reclining chair and she's listening to headphones and she has a red wig on. So pretty sweet, but I her bit is when we walk past it, she gets jealous of the mannequin. That's her bit. I'm over mannequins now, man. I love the real thing. I wasn't really into mannequins per se. I was trying to become the most self-reliant man in the world. I was trying to as long as we're here, as long as we're down at the bottom of this fucking circle, I'll say it. I bought a real doll. One of those things online, it's like a $5,000 like.
I think somebody just gasped.
Yeah. It's pretty extreme shit. It costs a lot of money, and then they send you a giant crate, and there's a fake woman in a box.
And then
it's a sex doll. I bought one.
Rob Schraub and I didn't see you for 3 months.
When you did,
you had a big smile on your face.
It was the best relationship that I had had to date at that time. I think it was an important thing because it's like sometimes you talk to people and they're like, oh, I can't be in a relationship. I don't know. It has something to do with loss of control and then all this stuff. It's like, you know, figure out who you are and what you want. Like, get to the bottom of your circle. I think there would be less sexual crime and victimization and objectification of women if men would be a little more like indulgent with themselves of like what they really were thinking and wanting and so that they didn't have all this shame that had to get redirected and come out at weird times with the people that had the misfortune of running across their path. I looked at it like I was just trying to I was looking for the perfect back scratcher to scratch this itch because I was becoming so ashamed of myself for dating women. It's like, you know that this relationship isn't going to work. Stop doing this. Stop putting yourself out there. When you know that something is going to end with someone else being hurt and you do it anyway, then you're a bad person. Figure your shit out. What do you like? And the answer is Angora sweaters and nylon.
So is that what you would wear?
Is that what?
If you were a lady, is that what you would wear?
Yeah, I would do that too, but only at home. I wouldn't like go out in it. I would like roll around in the bed in it. If I was a woman, I would just buy a bunch of outfits and roll around in the bed and look at myself in a mirror. But I think that's all guys would think that because they'd be like, oh, I'm a woman. I'm a human playboy.
I was dating a girl one time and I told her I liked stockings, so she wore fishnet stockings and. During the course of our intercourse, they were torn a little bit. So the next morning she left my apartment and then she threw them out in the trash can by my bed. So she left and went to work and I'm there and there's these stockings in there and I had never put stockings on before and I thought, well, I'm into stockings. If I'm going to jump in the pool, let's touch the bottom. Let's find out. I'm not gonna not put them on and wonder if maybe that's where I'm going with this.
That's what I'm saying.
If I'm Tim Curry from Rocky Horror.
Well, why are you expressing all this dismay and wonderment at my... that's what I was doing. I was trying to figure out, like, where does this lead? Where does this end? Where does this go?
So I put them on, and, you know... It felt pretty good, you know? Like you put them on, and it feel kind of sexy. Like, that's part of what stockings are about. I don't know why I like them so much. But I put them on, but, you know, like, I've got knobby knees, and I got hairy legs. They didn't look good. I didn't have sexy legs. But they felt kind of good putting on, and, like, I was like, oh, that's cool. I like that. I like them better on women's legs than my own. So I took them off. I posed and primped and preened a little bit in front of the mirror. I gave it the full college try, and then I took them off, and I threw them out. And I told my girlfriend, I said, you know, I pulled your stockings out of the garbage and I tried them on. She's like, God damn it, I knew it! I knew it! I was gonna take them with me. I knew you'd put them on. I was like,
all right.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
You know what I did once that I've never told anybody except for
brother.
I never told anybody this except for the community writers room because I encouraged to kind of like write what you know, explore yourselves, like confess things, and let's write episodes about these things. The story.
You could cut the tension with a knife in here right now.
Well, yeah, because there's absolutely no. Isn't that a refreshing thing, though, to not know for sure that what I'm about to say isn't going to make your eyes fall out of your head? Really don't know what I'm about to say because established that I might say anything.
I used to fuck a plastic lady, but here's something I never told anybody.
Yeah. The story ends with a Sharpie pen up my ass. It begins innocently enough.
Take us through the hero's journey of this.
Well,
can you make this Campbellian for
us? It begins in Milwaukee with Schraub. Schraub was my Schraub's the longest friend that I currently have. He's the friend that all of the friends that I have now. Schraub is the guy I've known the longest. We met in Milwaukee. I was 17 when I met Schraub. Schraub told me once because we were, you know, we started bonding about. It was like, well, man, I really like jerking off. Yeah, me too. You know, we were friends. We communicated with each other. We were
talking about.
We would shower together. It was no, I'm kidding. And then Schraub said, "You know the thing about the prostate, right?" And I said, "No. What is the thing about the prostate?"
Should we get Rob up here to do his part?
Well, we'll get him up in a second. I'm going to tell his butthole story, but I guess this night just went to a weird black hole. It was
about darkness. You said it.
Yeah, I guess, but it's kind of joyful. I don't mind it so much. It's a little relieving. I hope no one from CBS or Fox is here. You know what's really weird is that I don't know if he minds me saying this, but Henry Kissinger's son is in the room.
What? Yeah.
All right. Okay. Rob goes, you know, when you're jerking off.
Well, yeah, you can't just pass by that. All right, go on. You're about to tell a Sharpie up the butt story to Henry Kissinger's son.
Schraub tells you, like, yeah, when you're coming, you rub the, what we would call the taint, what we would come to call the taint when we achieved that kind of word power. Rob's like, you know, you rub that part when you're coming, you feels better. Come harder.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Who am I supposed to look at? That girl like that?
Yes.
Like, that fella? Who should I look at?
Well, you chose me for certain.
Well, I thought I could trust you. I'll just stare into lights.
Dan, look at me while you tell this story.
So Rob said, when you're coming, you know, you rub the area between your butt and your balls. It's a thing. It's like it feels a little better. And I was like, I wonder why that is. What is that? It was a magic button there. I did a little research.
At the local library?
Or actually, I just happened upon it. I think it was like in a Penthouse magazine or something. This is a pre-internet world of delightful periodical literature. There was some guy wrote in a letter to Playboy or Penthouse or something and said, "Dear Playboy, my girlfriend was pleasuring me, and she rubbed the area that Schraub was talking about." Rob Schraub.
Rob Schraub, Taint Master.
That is a great direct-to-video movie.
Have you seen Taint Master 2?
I didn't like it, but I heard Taint Master 3 is going to pretend Taint Master 2 didn't happen.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because I didn't like learning that Taint Master was an alien.
Yeah,
I thought that he was a master of taints that was earthbound and could speak to them and see through their eyes.
I've got that poster. It's amazing.
Didn't you think it was interesting that Mark Singer, who was in Beastmaster, he had a... have you watched Beastmaster? He has a very visible, very clear... what is it? It's a smallpox vaccination thing. I just think that's interesting, because it's like, he's the Beastmaster. He's even a master of microscopic beasts. he before anyone in this world had vaccinations, he did. All right, you 25-year-old fuckers. Maybe educate yourselves a little bit. I don't want us to go down that road again.
Who is Edie Brickell? What's aerobics? All right, so Rob Schraub is rubbing your taint.
That's
where you left off.
I was
It was Act Two.
I read a letter in a magazine.
A meeting with the goddess.
I read a letter in a magazine where a guy wrote into a magazine and said, my girlfriend did this thing. She rubbed this spot and something amazing happened. What can you explain?" And the Dr. Sex or whoever he was writing into said, "She's stimulating your prostate gland. That's what's happening. Some people choose to do it internally. That's why people stick stuff up their butt sometime. It's the same thing." And so I thought, like you with the fishnets, what am I going to die not having a... What if, how do you know? I mean, what if it's my favorite thing? What if I turn into the guy that loves...
Why did you climb that mountain? Because it was there.
You hear about it sometimes. You hear about guys liking stuff in their hoo-ha.
To dream. So I thought maybe I'm one of the... impossible dream.
So I...
To fight.
So at one point I'm sitting down for a personal session.
Mr. Kissinger.
I think to myself, maybe this is the time I'll try to put something in there and see if it's like magic, you know? See if a genie comes out.
Go on.
So I looked around my house because I thought, well, I'm not going to put my finger in there.
Yeah.
Because it's a butt. That's gross. I don't want poopies on my finger.
This is for the ladies.
So I'm like, well, it's for an object time. So I look around and I'm like... I landed on a Sharpie pen.
Yeah.
Not the cap end, but because there's the regular just smooth white end.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was like, well, this is a good starter, you know.
start slow. Baby.
Maybe I'll
start
end up
slow.
Putting a thermos up there, but
that's the spirit.
Let's find out. And so I, you know, the end of the story is I have a Sharpie pen stuck up my ass, and I came, and it wasn't that big a deal. It might have been a little better. I can't remember, but what I do remember very clearly is there's a thing with guys. This is something that's very amazing to me. When guys have an orgasm, it is instantaneous. Like whatever was in your bloodstream, whatever was in your brain that was making you sexually, excited, like it is literally in an instant, like the moment of your orgasm, the guy, it's like the thought of sex is like mowing the lawn. Everything goes away completely. You go from being like Dr. Detroit to being Dan Aykroyd.
Wow.
Fuck you guys. Just rent some shit.
Dr. Detroit. Now I'm turned on again.
You go from being Mr. Hyde back to having a PhD again as soon as you orgasm. So I came and I had a pen up my ass. I was just, that is the sweetest taboo. Thank you, sir. Yes. There's nothing you don't want, you'll do almost anything when you're in that zone. Like it does things to your mind and your body. But then when it's all over, you don't want any props involved that are gonna like take time and effort to deal with. Like I was a man who, you know, I was back to being a normal stockbroker. You know, just I wasn't ever really a stockbroker. That would be embarrassing. I had a pen up my ass and I had to pull it out. Yeah. Well, wouldn't you rather I did?
So you
didn't want me to like pull it out now and go, and here it is.
So when you come up after the show
it's
for
like
autographs,
the Golden Railroad spike.
Yeah. Well, after the show, Dan will be signing autographs and pictures.
Yes. I told the community writers room that, and there was no end of Sharpie jokes. Yeah, well, do you want to... Here's some things on the docket for tonight.
All right.
We got to have Spencer come up, our dungeon master.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We're going to have Spencer come up, and he's going to just talk to us, you and me.
Spencer, whom we met last week.
Right? Yes. I brought a dungeon master up on stage who volunteered to talk to us about Dungeons & Dragons, and Spencer's going to come up, talk to us a little bit about the kinds of characters we might like to play in a Dungeons and Dragons game, and then he'll take his seat. There's a lovely commemorative Sharpie pen under it for him. Then next week he'll present our characters to us, and that'll be another, you know, I gotta try to, it's a weekly step-by-step baby steps. I don't know where that's gonna go. Are we gonna end up playing Dungeons and Dragons on the podcast here at Harmontown? Will we, 3 weeks from now, will we have a table up on stage and we'll just do a little segment where we do a little baby chapter of an adventure with a dungeon master? Will Spencer be our dungeon master? Or having rolled our characters, you know, will he abdicate that throne? Will we audition, as I suggested we might, other dungeon masters and each week and see how they work for us? I don't know. I don't plan that far ahead. I'm a bad planner. I stick pens up my ass. That is not a guy who is thinking about Wednesday on Monday. That's a...
Sha la 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 la, live for today.
That is a man who DMs his carpes. Please welcome to the stage. For those of you who were here last week or listened to it last week, sorry, I totally blue-balled your applause there. I'm sorry about that. For those of you here last week or listening to it last week, I said, I want to play Dungeons & Dragons on the podcast, I think. Somebody needs to roll characters for us. I'm so out of touch with the world of Dungeons & Dragons. The books I own are from 89. And thank you. Applause for a year. It was applause for a year. Someone applauded a year. So we brought this guy up. He shot his hand up when I said, who knows anything about Dungeons and Dragons? Who's a dungeon master? Spencer raised his hand coming up. And so I talked to him after the show. I think we should edit all this out because I'm explaining a bunch of redundant bullshit. But let's bring our character, the guy who's going to create Jeff and I's first level Dungeons and Dragons characters to the stage. It's Spencer, everybody. Bring him up.
How's it going?
Here he is. Now, at risk, Jeff, you're like, for those listening, do we want to describe Spencer? He really does scream Dungeon Master.
I would say, 6'5", 4"? How tall are you? 6'4".
6'4".
6'4". Bearded, hair, pretty long, Metallica length hair, lower scapula length hair. He's bespectacled and kind of like intellectual small glasses. He's got a t-shirt, some plaid shorts. He's very casually dressed. I would have pictured a top hat and a cloak, but it's a podcast.
There's different kinds of Dungeon Master.
We'll edit that part out. He has a leather top hat and goggles on the goggles aren't on his face, they're on the hat. And he's wearing a jacket that goes down to the floor and there's 18 buckles on it. He has pockets on each arm, each of which are clearly carrying a weapon. And he has a dice satchel.
That's not true. No, I want people to really know.
He's a very casual dungeon master.
He looks like it's casual Friday at the Norse pillager village. On the Viking ship.
Yes, it's biz cash fry during the Norman invasion.
It's laundry day on Eric the Red's boat.
Right.
It's a big bushy beard. Yeah, so, yeah, 6'4".
Employee of the month, 15/24.
Okay. All right. So Spencer, our goal right now for this conversation, all we want to do is we want to talk about the kinds of characters Jeff and I would like to play. Now, there's not a lot of like two person campaigns, is there, in Dungeons and Dragons? That's not really a common thing.
I don't think it's too common, but it does end up happening. Yeah.
Well, it's
sometimes you don't have any friends.
Yeah. Exactly. If there's one contingency we of the role-playing ilk have to prepare ourselves for, it's less people showing up than we thought.
Can I just say, like, two pens and a real doll ago, I was like, they're going to think I'm a loser.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
You're like Cary Grant up here.
Yeah. I am not a I am a nerd's nerd.
Have you ever tried on stockings and put a pen in your butt, Spencer?
Can't say that I have, but I'm interested.
Yeah, well, what a square. Yeah.
All right, so it happens. I think that because I know that in creating parties of Dungeons and Dragons characters, what you want is a kind of balance, like. It's possible for Jeff and I to both be magic users, or both be fighters, but we'd probably want to balance ourselves a little.
Yeah, you want some like some heavy meat to take some damage, and some. Yeah, you want to balance.
Sweet as taboo.
I've never played this. I have no idea what either of you two are talking about.
All right, well, let's walk them through it, Spencer. If I'm assuming that the third edition of Dungeons & Dragons hasn't changed the fundamentals. It's like there's class. Class is like occupation. There's fighter. Well, you list.
All right, yeah. So mostly it's just like classes. There's the barbarian, which is, a barbarian. There's a bard, which tells magical stories and can cast spells and cause people to double over in painful laughter. There's clerics. They channel their power of their gods. Let's see. Druids. They're kind of like hippies, but with magic. You got fighters. They have big swords and whatnot. You got, let's see here. All right, you got monks, which are kind of like martial artists, like Jackie Chan kind of people. You got your you got your paladins, which, they smite evil in the name of their gods and are usually jerks. There's rangers.
Jeff's hand shot up when he heard that description.
You got the Rangers, which is like Legolas from Lord of the Rings. He's got a bow. He uses two swords, you know, that sort of thing.
And they're kind of nature experts.
Yeah, they can hunt. They can have beast pets sort of thing. Like Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Like Taintmaster?
Almost.
Are there thieves and assassins?
Yeah, there's thieves, which are rogues. They can be like assassins or just thieves, you know, stealing stuff or sneaking on high ledges.
I'm going to go for... what's a barbarian do?
Barbarians fly into dangerous rages in which they shrug off even the fiercest of damage.
I'll take that. I'm a barbarian.
All right, sounds good.
So then I feel like
wear a suit? Can I be a barbarian in a suit?
Yeah. No, it could be like ripped, you know, cut off like slacks.
Sweet.
Barbarian in a suit.
Cut off slacks.
That's a librarian.
I should offset that then with like a spell casting kind of occupation.
Yeah, like a bard or a druid or a wizard.
You know, I think I'm just gonna go straight up the middle because it's got a barbarian, and then I should be a cleric or magic user.
Yeah, a cleric or a druid.
Maybe. I'm gonna say magic user so that we have some offensive capability between the two of us. Thank you. Get a little bit of applause there from Rob Schraub. So then there's class. That's the first choice you make. So we've done that. Then there's race. Yeah, my favorite. The most exciting thing in the world to me.
You're a Filipino bard.
you want to run down the races?
Yeah, you got, humans. Those are us.
Oh, he's good. The right man for the job.
You got your elves. Most people know what elves are. They live in trees. They like bows and
arrows. But some people think elves are little shrimpy people.
They make cookies.
Like, like this isn't a Keebler elf, is there? Well, actually, yeah, Lord of the Rings. Now everybody knows that it's Orlando Bloom. Okay.
You got half elves, which are half human, half elf, loved by all. They're accepted.
Okay.
That's just true. That's the game.
Don't hate the role player.
You got halflings, which are really, really short people, kind of like toddlers if they looked old.
I think I'll be a human. I'll be a human magic user.
Pussy. No.
All right.
This dwarf barbarian is going to beat your ass. Am I a gnome or a dwarf?
You're probably a gnome. You could be a dwarf, but that's less hilarious.
Gnome it is.
Yeah. And the rest of it, you know, unless we have any specific requests that we want to talk about, like I got concepts that we want to, because part of your job now as a dungeon master, from what I understand, is he's going to go roll our characters. This is a comedy, so some of it involves actual die rolling, like generating our attributes, which are strength, intelligence, wisdom, charisma. I'm assuming. Stop me if I'm
no,
wrong.
Those are all right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but we could turn you loose now, and you could roll. There's first level characters. We're going to be very weak, and we're going to have a kind of, and then you'll present them to us next week. You go, here's your character. So maybe we should come up with our names, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm going to guess you're going to be Mitch Nightblade.
No, because I'm going to be a magic user.
All right. All right, yeah. Well, I'll come up with my name. Right now. No,
I don't know. What do you think, Spencer? Do we come up with them now, or do we do you come back with these characters that are nameless?
You should come up with a name now.
Okay. You know what? How about this? Let's let the audience tonight name our characters.
Okay.
All right. I want, let's see. You right here, sir. Hold your hand in the air. And then you, miss, right there. I want you to put your hand in the air right there. Yeah. I want you to give me my first name, and I want you to make it... gnome-y, like, you know, like something that think of whatever a gnome's name would be, and you, something barbaric. Okay? And on the count of three, I want you to say what you're thinking right now. So you, sir, give me the gnome-y first name. You, ma'am, are the barbaric last name. Ready? One, two, three.
Cork.
Cork? I am Cork.
Okay. All right.
That fucking backfired.
Yeah, I think I'll just call you Quirk, probably.
Yeah, no, no. We'll be on a first name basis for most of it. I come from a long line of.
Magic user. Sharpie.
Sharpie butts a lot.
Sharpie butts a lot. Okay. All right. No wrong answers. Sharpie butts a lot, the magic user.
We're definitely starting off on the right foot.
Okay. All right. Well, let's have a hand for Spencer. He's going to go do some hard work for us.
Spencer.
And thank you, Spencer. Yeah, he's gonna go do those characters, and then next week he'll come to us with what he's created, and then we'll just examine them, and that'll be we probably won't start playing next week, but then we'll have time to. I'm not gonna produce the show in front of you guys. We'll talk about it later. We should do rapid fire. Let's get these fashion questions out, right. and then let's send these people on their merry way. It's Friday night. They got.
We're not going to hear Rob's butt story or no?
Well, I don't. I just don't think it's time. Rob washed his butt too much, and. All right, Shrop, come up. Can you do the yeah?
Like, you want the short version?
Yeah. What's the short version?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. To remind me, how did this all get started? By the way,
it all got
shittiest seats in the building.
I know. I don't know why they put chairs.
These
there.
Are reserved.
Yeah. Well, also that's my fault. Rob's describing.
This is your view the entire time.
Yeah. If you sit stage right here at the show, audience left, you look at the back of Dan's head most of the show.
Yeah. And his ass.
It's my fault. It's also my fault because I tend to talk to Jeff because I'm insecure.
That's okay.
And so then you're looking at my tight
also,
ass.
Also, at Everything is Everything is Festival, Joel in Cinematic Titanic is going to be on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So go to see that because it's super hilarious.
It's important to mention awesome. That our hero and mentor, Joel Hodgson from Mystery Science Theater, is here.
Yeah.
Joel Hodgson, truly a god among nerds and even some regular people. Joel, when Shrob and I moved to L.A., we were strangers in a strange land. We had no idea what we were doing. And this other guy from the Midwest, who we worshipped when we were in Milwaukee because we loved his show, he was out here in L.A. too, and he was a big part of making us comfortable out here. You know, explaining to us like how disgusting
Thank
he could
you.
Be out here and preparing
much,
us for that. And he's a good stand-up guy.
He's
and
a great guy.
I miss him like the Dickens.
Missin' Dickens.
Anyways.
You made the whole taint thing sound like we were like some serious Chuck and Buck shit. Hey man, you know what you gotta do? You gotta rub that taint when you're jerking off. It's not like that at all.
We were.
I would be Chuck, right? Right?
That's important to you? That's really petty. That's really petty,
He's
Rob.
He's thinner, right? He's thinner. All right. But what? I mean, there's several chapters,
well,
decades.
Okay. Just stop me when you want to take over.
Okay.
Rob, at some point in his life, became obsessive about cleaning his anus. That was that was an uncharismatic.
Really, is that a really bad thing? But
no, of course not. What's
bad is how late in life I became obsessed.
You decided that you weren't. Yeah, that you would.
I don't think my mom potty trained me properly because I remember like. I don't know what it was. I don't know if my mom said it, but I got it in my head that all you had to do is wipe three times.
On the ceiling if you want me.
And,
try some the pipe.
If you wipe three times, I was never
you.
Taught to look at the tissue. I was a kid. It was like wipe three times.
On the ceiling if you want.
And then flush. And the toilet paper magically makes the poop go away.
Uh-huh. So,
which is not true if you've ever tried to get a peanut butter
so then you felt
off the carpeting
at a time and you
Don't take me white.
What?
Don't
what
take
goes on in Wisconsin, by the way?
He's crazy over there.
So, but that's the setup. Is that so? What you started doing is you started like really kind of
going for it.
Yeah, like really washing it,
making up for 20 years because I. God, I can't tell why. Yes, I can. Okay, so as a joke. Oh man, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so.
She's married to you now. She can't do anything.
I want to stay married.
She's not going to divorce you for.
Oh God.
Telling how you
okay,
clean your.
So
butt.
Anyway, as a joke, back in the Dead Ale Wives days, when we would show our balls and our dicks and stuff like that, it was the funniest thing in the world. We thought we invented that.
Yeah.
I dropped my pants and I don't know, grabbed a towel and I wiped it and it was shockingly dirty, soiled. And our aunt, everybody goes, nobody's more embarrassed than I am. And then our good friend Sean McKenna like looked at me, who would pull his dick out and pee on your shoe as a joke and stuff.
Yeah, Sean had a bit he would do called the Star Wars trilogy, where he would do three things with his penis. Like he would make it a lightsaber with a pen light,
mm-hmm.
and he would pretend it was Jabba the Hutt by making his ballsack talk, and then for Empire he would tuck it into its own foreskin,
carbonite,
and then pretend it was the big reptile creature trying to swallow the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
As his pinky was the Millennium Falcon as it flew away, and he would let his package like unpackage. The point being, Sean McKenna's not someone that you want that from derision. You don't take it lightly. Like it's like
that pre Pulp Fiction comedy just was so easy back then. he had an impression of Jimmy Durante that could.
Yeah, it involved a pair of glasses and his dick.
Yeah. His closer was Jimmy sneezing.
Yeah, sometimes Jimmy had a cold. Let's move on.
So anyway, the guy who would do that, as a joke, I wipe my ass, and Sean goes, Jesus Christ! Do you ever wipe your ass? And it was like, it didn't make sense to me until that moment. So somebody hit rewind on the VCR in my head, and I rewound like from 24 to 4 going, oh my God, I am the most disgusting person in the world, and things started making sense. The dots were connected, and I was like, oh my God. Is that why I don't have a girlfriend?
But after that, I
went for it. I was like, washing, it was scrubbing, it just like to OCD.
And that escalated, like, because you found out you could get special shower heads.
When Kate, when we first moved in, Kate. Because she's was the best girlfriend in the world and now is the most amazing wife in the world. Please applaud. Kate Freund, married to the Taint Master. She buys me, as I think it was like a birthday present or a Christmas present, like a shower snake. You know what? You know where you attach it so you could do it, just so I could really wash my ass.
Because you wanted to, not because she wanted you to.
No.
She knew it would make you happy.
I wanted to wash it, and because I don't know, I got it in my head that the hotter the water, the cleaner it would be.
Makes sense.
And you know,
it works for dishes.
Right. Yeah. That's what I did. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I remember there was a point where I was like,
you guys
I have
are
my leg up.
Lunatics.
I have a leg up. I know.
You,
I'm really
you dressed
sorry.
Like a
I've
woman.
Invited people.
What?
You put on fishnets.
I look good.
I remember I'm in the shower, my leg hiked up, spraying, and the other hand is slowly turning up the heat. So I'm going, and going like trying
one
to,
pill makes you
yeah laugh. Just really trying because I was trying to
you're trying to clean
boil away 20 years worth of disgusting terrible hygiene. And I remember we went, and remember like one time I went really too far. And
I think I got like an instant message, like an iChat.
Well, that was like the night before New Year's. Because we went to Vegas with Davis and like Akiva Schaffer was there and Drew Carey was there and I was like, well, it's... Were you there, Kate? Were we dating it? Okay, all right. I don't know. Why
well, it's New Year's Eve.
All right.
Time to...
Better put on the top hat and tails here. Let's just really clean it out. And I remember... Did we drive? We drove there, right? I don't know. Somewhere between the shower and the stroke of midnight... Things just were not right with the taint master. I was, and it was like I scalded my entire, like, I just was like, for a month, I was just like,
good
torn
heavens.
Up.
So you went to this doctor. That's the story that I.
Okay.
Wait,
That's the prologue? Yeah, that's
the prologue.
That's the crawl before we go to Tatooine. Yes. That's the.
It's a dark day for the rebellion.
Or Hoth. It could be Hoth.
Oh, they don't even know.
This is probably Hoth.
Your asshole needed to go to Hoth to cool down.
So I didn't have a doctor at the time, and Kate helps me find like this. It was the worst. I had this terrible Armenian doctor that I went in there.
He wasn't terrible because he was
color.
Armenian.
That's just
it was terrible
flavor.
And Armenian.
That's not like Irish medicine.
No. It just. And I went in there, and I didn't sit down. And he's like, "Oh, why? What's wrong with you?" It's.
He studied in Italy. He went to school in Bologna, I think.
Was his name Boyardian?
Oh, what's up? Had a chef's hat and curly but
Boyardian?
Oh, what's so wrong with you? What's so wrong?
Dr. Boyardian. you're needed in the meatball ward.
So
Boyardian.
So we talk for a really long time. He says, "So what's the problem?" And I'm like, "Well, I think there's."
He might not have been Armenian, by the way.
I think I can't do an Armenian accent, so I just do Italian. Oh.
Was he jumping over barrels?
His secretary was a giant gorilla. Who had plus signs for teeth. So we talk about it for a while. So, well, I think I got something going on down there, and I'm worried about it. I'm trying to find out if there's a way that we can do something about it without me showing my butt. Not gonna happen. So he's like, "Well, why don't you take off your clothes and get up on the table?" So I'm like, oh, Jesus,
that's a spicy butthole. Oh.
Mamma mia, Maron. So I get on the table and I'm naked. I'm naked and I'm on all fours. And we have a conversation with my nuts. Like, he's like looking here and my nuts are hanging there. And he goes, "All right, let's see what the problem is." And he goes, "Oh my, what did you do?
Mamma mia."
And I try to act like, what? What's going on? What do you got going on down there? And he's like, oh, it's all colored, discolored and everything. And I'm like, what, like blue? What's going on? And he's like, oh, okay. Well, he prescribes like all this junk that I'm supposed to put on there. And
all right, well,
yeah. So go to Found Crap.
Yes, go to Found Crap. Everything is terrible.
The Tape Master, everybody. The Tape Master.
Cinematic Titanic with Joel Hodgson this Sunday.
That's Monster House writer Rob Schraub taking the stage.
All right, we're gonna end the show with the speed round.
Yeah, man. We gotta. I feel bad because people write these questions and then they're like,
there's a lot of good.
Our
ones
audience
here.
Is the best. You guys ask the best. You're really good at this. We have you write stuff down on pieces of paper, and you're always so cooperative and so sincere and like really cool about it. And I want to reward you for that, not punish that. I'm sorry. It's we ran uncharacteristically long. But I do want to tend to them.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the theme tonight was fashion and style. This is the speed round. Dan, I want you to keep your answers as terse and as succinct as possible.
Should we check a number of words for the answers?
You pick.
Okay, let's do three-word answers.
Three-word answers.
I saw Zach hold up three fingers because he's like, I got a pork chop with my name on it at home.
Zach, our technician, says three words. Here we go. Starting off, speed round. Dan, is it all right to wear a white fedora after Labor Day?
Yes, sirree, Bob.
Is it ever okay to wear a patterned tie with an Argyle vest?
Yes, sirree, Bob.
All right. Okay, this one's a little more abstract. Ted Nugent or Gary Busey? From a fashion standpoint.
Obviously, Gary Busey.
All right. What do you think of people who wear glasses to look nerdy or cute when they don't even need them because they have fucking 20/20?
Meow, glasses lady.
Have you ever considered beard braiding?
Just yesterday. Yes. I'm sorry.
Why do hipsters dress like Steve Urkel?
The alternative's worse.
Nice.
No, maybe, apparently not.
At what point does a t-shirt need to be thrown out?
more stains. happening. That one was brought to you by
Nike.
Tonto.
Where do you buy your clothes?
My girlfriend's purchase.
What should one wear to a bar mitzvah?
Probably a yarmulke.
All right, now here's a tough one, Dan. Here's a tough one. What shoes go with a narrow-cut, tapered black suit?
Adidas, Adidas, Adidas.
Thank you, everybody. This has been Harmontown. You guys have been fantastic.
Thank you so much. Hope we didn't take too much of your Friday night. Go have some fun. Thank you. You were a great crowd. Thank you for your questions. We love you dearly. Try not to judge me too much for what
thank
I've said
everybody.
Tonight.
Let's thank a few people. Katie Levine, audio recording. Zach McKeever, our tech. Emily Gordon, producing the live show. Danielle Kramer, program director. Dustin Marshall, podcast producer. Mo Fathelbab, on-site director. And Jenny Fine, our logo artist. I've been Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for Dan Harmon, the mayor of Harmontown.
I love you guys. Have a good time out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to Nerd Melts in Hollywood. And thank you all listening out there in podcast land. This has been Harmontown. Thank you. Until next time.
Thank you.